daf is Chul and Daf Lamed. We left off on Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis. We're about 10 lines from the end of the page. We are at Amar Rava I Kashali Ha Kashali. So we're in the middle of the sugi of discussing whether Yeshna L'Shchita Mitchili V'Atsof or Ein L'Shchita Elo L'Basof. When is the moment of Shchita? Is it an elongated period of time in a Hemshech Hazman from the beginning of the Shchita till the end? Or is the Shchita only said to happen at that very last moment where you get to Rov Simen Echad Ba'of or Rov Shnei Simanim Bibehema? So the Gemara is going to, we're in the middle of bringing rayas one way or the other, whether Yeshon L'Shchidim L'Tchid V'atzof or L'Shchita El L'Basof. So that conversation will continue into Amud Aleph. The Gemara is then going to talk about the majority of the daf today, is going to talk about whether we have a requirement of Shchita Miforaas. Does Shchita have to be dafka in one spot on the animal where as you cut the Simen, and it sort of spreads apart from each other, but maybe cutting in different parts of the simen is going to ruin the shechita, even though perhaps on one part you are actually getting rova simen, but just the fact that you're cutting other parts as well may ruin the shechita. So the Gemara is going to try to bring a raya from the case of Shnayim Ochsin Besakin and being Shochet together, but the Gemara says no, that really has nothing to do with each other, because that's talking about two people holding the same knife and doing the same act of Shechita. It's not talking about cutting in multiple places. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about the Psul of Chalada, that you're not allowed to have the knife hidden while it's cutting the simanim. So the Gemara is going to discuss what qualifies as hidden. What if it's hidden not in between the two simanim when you do the cutting, but under the skin? Or what if it's not even under the skin of the animal, it's under the wool of the animal? What if it's not even under the wool of the animal, but it's under a cloth that's put around the animal's neck? You put some sort of a scarf around the animal's neck and the knife is under that. Is that also a problem of chalada? And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to go through the minimum size of a knife that's required for shechita to ensure that there's no drisa, because the shechita has to be done b'derech halacha v'ava. You have to do it in a back and forth motion and not by pressing down, because you have to be assured that it's the sharpness of the knife that's cutting and not the pressure that you're applying to the knife that's doing the cutting. So if the knife is too short, we're concerned that you might push downward as opposed to slicing with the sharpness of the knife. So Bez Hashem, that we'll get to at the end of the daf. So let's begin about 10 lines from the end of the page on Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis. First word on the line is Delav. We are at Amar Rava. So says Gemara, Amar Rava I Kashali Ha Kashali. If I'm going to have a Kasha from this Mishnah that we just mentioned, the Kasha would go as follows. L'mandi Amareinu L'shchita El L'basof Liflog Be'chshera Depara. That the Mishnah should have been mechalik between a para, even when it comes to a para that was done behechsher, and not only about a para that was done bepsul. If you recall, the Mishnah we were discussing yesterday talks about how anyone who's involved in the avoda of the para aduma becomes tame. He's metame. He's so tame that even his begadim become tame. But we had mentioned that if the para is pasul, so then you weren't really involved in the para aduma because it was pasul. So therefore, you would not become tame. What if it became pasul later on? I mean, at some later stage of the avoda became pasul. So anyone who was engaged in the avoda of the para prior to its psul will become tame. Anyone who's engaged in the avoda of the para after the psul will not become tame. So says Mar, why do we have to talk about a case of psul? We should be able to make a chiluk within a case of a kashra para. And as follows, kigon de shechatua betray gavri the gavra kama lo mitama v'gavra basa mitama. Let's say two people are involved in the shechita. So the first guy who just starts off the shechita should not become tameh, because that's not called the shechita yet. And therefore it's not really a para. It's not really a shechita of a para adum. It's not an avoda of the para. But the second guy who finishes the shechita is in fact becoming tameh. Meaning this is only true if you say, ein el shechita el lebasov. Because if the moment of shechita is only at the end of the shechita, then only the second guy who's involved in the shechita is actually doing a shechita. So only he should become tameh. So it must be that yeshon l'shechita mitchil v'yadsov. And that's why the Mishnah didn't give this example. That the first guy is also doing what's called the shechita. And therefore he also would be tameh. So Amar Rav Yosef responded to Rava, Trey Gavri b'chad zivcha kamrit. You're going to bring me a raya from two guys shechting a single karban, and that's how you're going to ask. Bar minei dahu. That's the Mishnah can't possibly talk about that case. Ditanina, because we have a brisa that since the pasuk when it talks about shechting kachim, it says v'chisiz b'chu zevach shlamim la'ashem l'ritzonchem Tizbachuhu. So that's the key word. Tizbachuhu is tizavachu. Tizbach oso. Tizbachu. So we darshan two drushes. Number one, tizbach. Shlo yishayim shokten zevachechad. So lashon yachid to tell me, excuse me, that two people cannot shecht a single carbon. You need to have one shochet. And tizbuchuhu, from the word hu, which is part of the word tizbuchuhu, we include that shaloye echad shochet shnei zvachim, that one guy can't shech two karbanos simultaneously. V'amar Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana explaining this drasha, even though the way we read the word is tizbuchuhu with a vav, but which sounds like it's a lashon rabin, that even two people could shech the single karban, tizbechehu ksiv, but the way that it's written is tizbechehu, which sounds like a lashon yachid, and that's how we know that two people cannot shech a single karban, even bezeh achar zeh. So what was Rav's whole kasha? Why didn't we make an ukimta in the Mishnah that we're talking about two people shechting, and only the second guy that shechts is tamei begadim, and the first guy that shechts is not tamei begadim? Because we can't make such an ukimta, because two guys are not allowed to shecht. That's why it's not Rav's raya is not a raya. Two people are simply not allowed to shecht the same carbon. Now there is a kasha. Tulsa over here writes, you know, this idea two people can't shech the same carbon, Tulsa points out, is only din lechatchila, but it would not passel b'diavad, because the on Amud Aleph the Gemara said that the Mishnah on Laman and Beis of Shnayim Ochtzim B'Sakin V'Shochtim Shkitasim K'sheira is talking about shechitas kachin. So the Mishnah still could have been mechalik by a paro when there are two people shechting, but in a b'diavad situation. So Tulsa says, but since lechatchila you wouldn't do it, it's a milsa de lo shchicha. So we wouldn't make an ukimta. The Mishnah wouldn't talk about a case which would never happen, which is very interesting, because Tosfos himself points out we make a different ukimta. We're happy to say that it's talking about a case where a guy is shechting and he's wearing one piece of clothing, and in the middle of the shchita someone rips off that piece of clothing and puts another piece of clothing on him. So which clothing is going to be tameh? We'll soon see. That's more shchiach than two people shechting at the same time. So that's a little bit hard to understand, but that's what Tosfos writes in the bottom Tosfos. That's considered to be more shchiach. It's also interesting that what we have here is a kriya niksiv, right? Tizbechuhu, but tizbechehu ksiv. It's written as if it were belashon yachid, and that's how we know that two people cannot do the shchita. So Rashi writes, yesh eim l'mesores. We darshan the pasuk the way it's written, even though the way it's read is in the plural, the way it's written is in the singular. So the Ramban asks, how are you so sure? That's a machlokas tanaim in all of Shas, whether yesh eim l'mikra or Yeshem l'Masodas. So how could it be that this Gemara is just assuming as a davar pashut, according to Rashi, that Yeshem l'Masodas? So the Ramban suggests that even though Lefiyah Mikra, there's no hechrech that we're talking about two people shechting simultaneously, because it could be Lefiyah Mikra when it says tizbuchuhu in the plural, it doesn't mean two people shechting the same zevach. It could be two people shechting each one their own zevach, and there are lots of mitzvahs in the Torah that are written b'lashon rabim, and it doesn't mean two people are doing them together. It just means that everybody does this mitzvah, but not that everyone's doing it simultaneously. So as long as the mikra is not soser the mesores, then everyone holds yeshem aim the mesores. So that's how to answer for Rashi. Why does Rashi assume yeshem the mesores? Because the whole machlok is yeshem the mikra, yeshem the mesores. Is, for example, if there's a stira between the mikra and the mesores, is it sukkas or sukkos? Now those are different things, singular, plural, right? Totefes, totafos. That's where you have Yeshem the Mikra, Yeshem the Mesores. But over here, the Mikra is not necessarily against the Mesores, because even if it's B'Lashon Rabim, it may not mean that there are two people doing it simultaneously. Lashon Rabim could just mean all of Klal Yisrael. So now Abaye asks on Rav Yosef's Teretz. So Amalei Abaye, again, Rav Yosef had answered Rava's Kasha, and Rav Yosef had said, no, we're not going to talk about Trey Gavri B'Chad Zvicha, because that's not something you're allowed to do anyway. So Amalei Abaye, said back to Rav Yosef, Itmar Allah, Amr Rabba Rechanam Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Didn't we say about this brisa that this halacha of two people can't shecht a single karban is only the sheet of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Satim Ta'a, where there are a lot of stam mishnayos and brisos that seem to follow his opinion? And so that this brisa also, that Darshan's Tizbach, that two people can't shecht the same karban, is only Lishita So, Aval Chacham, Mom Shnayim Shochtin Zevach Echad, but Chacham disagrees. disagree, and they hold that two people can shecht a single carbon. And therefore, Rava's kasha is back to being a kasha, that if you're going to say, ein l'shchita elo l'basov, why didn't the Mishnah simply make a chilik between two people who are involved in the same shchita? That the first guy is not going to be metamei begadim, the second guy will be metamei begadim. So, and furthermore, says Abaye, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, even according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, who says that two people cannot shecht, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, nami, liflo, could go into shachar, chad gavr b'shnei sudarim. You could still make a chilik and talk about a single guy doing a shchita, but he does it wearing two separate begadim. He starts the shchita wearing one beged, and before he finishes the shchita, someone else comes, removes that beged from him, and puts a different beged on him, and he concludes the shchita wearing that second beged. The sudar kama lo metameh. You can still make a chilik and say, okay, the first beged is not going to become tameh because ain't a shchita l'basof. The shchita only happens at the very end. So while he was wearing the first beged, that's not called the shchita. The sudar basu metameh. But the second beged that he was wearing will become tameh because that's when the ma'aser shchita happens. So Abaye suggests ela b'psula de para kamari bechshera lo kamari. Now what you have to say is to Rava's kasha, not like Rav Yosef's teretz, that you simply can't have two people doing the same shchita. Sure you can. According to the Chachamim you can, and even if it's one person you can make such a nukimta, it must be that we're dafka talking about a case where the parah became pasul. That's what the Mishnah was trying to teach us, about a case where the parah becomes pasul, and therefore there's no tumma because it was a pasul of parah. But bechsher lo kamari, even though there may be cases where you have a kasher of parah, where parts of the process you'll be tahar still, and parts of the process you'll be tameh, we're not talking about cases of a kasher of parah, we're only talking about cases of a pasul of parah. So ask the Gemara on the Shita that Ein Shchita L'Besof, we have another Kasha. Masav Ravi Di Baravin, you know, there's a Mishnah, Maseches Pesachim, that Rabbi Shimon says a person who shechts Karban Pesach, a person who shechts any Karban on Pesach while he still has Chametz is in violation of an Isser Midarais of Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi is not only that you can't shecht your Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach when you still have Chametz, it means any Karban you shecht on Pesach while you still have Chametz Bereshuso, in addition to violating Bali Rabbi Yimatzeh for having Chametz Bereshuso, you're in violation of a separate Isser called Lo Sishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi, that you're not allowed to shecht any carbon when you still have chametz around. But you're only in violation of that isra of l'sishchal chametz dam zivchi if what you're shechting is a kasher carbon. But if you're shechting a pasul carbon, then you were not sishchal chametz dam zivchi because it wasn't a kasher carbon. So b'moed l'shmo pater. Let's say you shecht on Pesach itself, meaning on what we call Pesach, on Chag HaMatzos, not on Erev Pesach, on Chag HaMatzos, you shecht a Karban Pesach Lishmo, and you still own Chametz, your pater. Because Karban Pesach Lishmo is not kosher on Pesach, it's got to be done on Erev Pesach. But Shelo Lishmo Chayiv, if you shecht the Karban Pesach Shelo Lishmo on Chag HaMatzos, you're going to be, while you still have Chametz, you're going to be Chayiv. Because since you didn't shecht the Lishem Pesach, it becomes a regular Karban Shalomim, and therefore it's kosher as a Karban. So any time you shecht a carbon that is kosher on Chag HaMatzos while still having chametz in your possession, you're in violation of this iser. Va'avinan ba, so we ask on this that when we said shelo l'shmo chayiv, taima to shelo l'shmo sounds like the only reason that your chayiv is because you shechted it shelo l'shmo hastama. But let's say you didn't have anything in mind. You didn't have kavanah l'shem carbon pesach. You didn't have kavanah l'shem carbon shlamim. You just shechted it shelo bizman. You took your carbon pesach and you shechted it on Chag HaMatzos at the wrong time. So that l'chora pater, you'd be pater, sounds like. So says Gemara, you'd be pater for the iser of lo sishchal chametz dam zivchi, meaning making it sound that it's a pasul a karban, and that's why you're pater from lo sishchal chametz dam zivchi. So ask Gemara, v'amai pater Pesach b'shayim al sashana shlamim hu. Why would you be pater? Shouldn't this be a kosher carbon? Because don't we assume that a carbon Pesach the whole rest of the year automatically takes on the status of a carbon shlamim? So shouldn't it be a kosher carbon and therefore be a violation of the sishchal chametz dam zivchi? So shmaimina Pesach b'shayim al sashana b'yakira. So says Murna, what you see from here is that that's not an automatic. A carbon Pesach the rest of the year doesn't automatically become a carbon shlamim. You have to specifically designate it as a carbon shlamim, and only then does it become kosher as a carbon shlamim? The Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda Nizruka Mipi Chabura, that they mentioned in the Chabura that's not a raya. The Amru, they said really Pesach Sha'avar Zmano does not require designation as a carbon shlamim. Even if you shecht it bistam, it already takes on the status of a carbon shlamim.
Aye, why then do we say that you're not in violation of Losishcha L'chametz Dam Zivchi when you shecht the Karban Pesach Stam on Chag HaMatzos? Shouldn't that automatically be a Karban Shlamim and therefore it should be a violation of Losishcha L'chametz Dam Zivchi? No, Hachem Ha'eskinan, Kigon Shayu Bailim Timei Mesim, Dinitchon L'Pesach Sheni. You know when a Karban Pesach automatically becomes a Karban Shlamim? When it can no longer be used as a Karban Pesach, because Erev Pesach is over. But what if you were Tamei Meis on Erev Pesach? So you still have hopes to use this animal as a Korban Pesach, because you are Chayiv in Pesach Sheni. So while this animal could still be used as Korban Pesach, and you shecht it Stam on Chag HaMatzos at the wrong time, that's going to be puzzle. And that's why you're not going to be Chayiv for Lo Sishcha L'Chametz Dam Zivchi. To stumble the Shmokai, because the Stam of that Korban is still the Shem Pesach. So in such a carbon, if you want to call it a shlamim, you have to actually designate it as a shlamim. But that which is not omeid to be shechted on Pesach Sheni, you were not Tamei Meis, and Erev Pesach is just over, so now this Karban Pesach cannot be used as a Karban Pesach anymore, then automatically it would become a Karban Shlamim. But what does all this have to do with our sugya? So here it goes. If you hold that Shechita is a process, and it's from the beginning to the end of the process, it's all part of the Shechita, so then if the Karban already became possible from possibly being used as a Karban Shlamim at the very beginning of the Shechita, because at the very beginning of the Shechita it was still right to be brought L'Shem Pesach as Pesach Sheni, and it was done Stam L'Shem Pesach, and you passel it from being brought as a Karban Shlamim. Eliyam Tein L'Shechita El Besof, but if you say that Shechita is only at the end, so Kibun D'Shachar Paporta It Chilei MiPesach. The second you shecht just a little bit of it, it is no longer roi to be used as a Karban Pesach. So this animal, the second you make that first incision, that first cut, it's already not roi for Pesach Sheini. And therefore, when you do the rest of the Shechita, Idach Ki Kashachit, Shlam Kashachit, when you're shechting the rest of it, meaning at the critical point of the Shechita, Lebasof, when you're doing the actual Shechita, it's already only omeid for a Karban Shlamim. So even though at the beginning of the Shechita it was still Ratwe for a Karban Pesach, but the beginning is not called part of the Shechita anymore, and therefore is not going to pass the Karban from a Din Pesach that's Nishcha Shlo Bizmano. But since at the end of the Shechita it's already not Roy for a Karban Pesach, it's only Roy for a Shlamim, so then it should be you should be in violation of the Sishchal Chametz Dam Zivchi, because this should automatically turn into a Karban Shlamim. And therefore, Rav Chiya Bar Gamda's answer falls away, and we go back to the Kasha of the Gemara and Pesachim. Why is it that a person shechts Chametz, shechts a Karban Pesach, while he still has Chametz around, on Chag HaMatzos, with a Stam Machshava? Why is he Potter from the Sishchal Chametz Dam Zivchi? He should be Chayiv. So Amalei Abaye answers that even at the end of the Shechita, it still has a shame Karban Pesach. You're right, you can't use it as an actual Karban Pesach anymore because the animal's already been sliced open. But what happens with Psulei HaMikdashim? Psulei HaMikdashim, you paid for money and use the money to buy a replacement Karban. So that it still has. It still has Kedushas Pesach from a Kedushas Damim standpoint, even though it doesn't have it from a Kedushas Haguf standpoint. So since at the end of the Shechita it's still omeid for Kedushas Damim of a Karban Pesach, so long as you have not designated it as a Karban Shlamim, we're still going to call this a Karban Pesach. And therefore it's Pasul, and therefore you're not in violation of L'Sishcha L'Chametz Dam Zivchi. So Abaye says, B'chi Teiman, if you're going to try to be Docha this Teretz, and you're going to tell me that once it develops a mum at the beginning of the Shechita, when you sliced it at the very beginning, you can't be poda it anymore either. It doesn't have Kedushas Damim, because Boi Hamadva Aracha, in order to be poda Bal Mum, you need the animal to be able to stand in front of the Kohen to be able to be evaluated. And once you shecht it, it's already dead, and it's not able to be Omid Al Ragla, it's not able to be evaluated anymore. Nah, that's not a Kasha. V'atznan, Shachat Bashnayim or Rav Shnayim, V'adayin Him Farcheses, that if you shecht shnei simanim or rov shnei simanim, but the animal is still jumping around, then it's still considered alive. So don't tell me that it's not ro'i for hamadav aracha. It is ro'i for hamadav aracha even after you started shechting the simanim, because even after you finish the entire shechita, it could still be ro'i for hamadav aracha, because it's still considered a live animal after the shechita is over, which is a wild chiddush that the Gemara is suggesting. Now you did a kasher shchita, you have to wait till it stops moving. Only then is it dead. It's not considered dead when it's being mifarcheses. So this is a very important line in Gemara lahalacha in the sugya of brain death, because what would be the halacha if you would chop its head clean off? Right, you chop its head straight off, meaning not just that you cut the simanim. Right, what if you cut its head entirely off? So the animal could still be jumping. So is that also still alive? Would you say that's also considered alive? So the Gemara says yishach shnei simanim rov shnei mitzvah farchas harei kechaya. The Rambam writes in the first paragraph of Hilchos Tumas Meis, im hutas rosho shel adam, a person's head gets chopped off and he's still mefarches, he's mitame ba'ol, meaning he's obviously dead if a person's head is cut off. I think this was one of Rabbi Tendler's rides. Do you remember seeing this video? He cut a goat's head off and he had it attached to a life support machine to show that you can mamish be dead and you can still keep the heart beating on life support. So don't tell me that if a person is brain dead that they're still alive. You can, because they could be maintained on life support. Anything could be maintained on life support. A dead animal could also be maintained on life support. That was his raya. It was a very dramatic presentation. So the Rambam writes you could chop it clean off and then the person is for sure going to be considered dead. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva in Yardei Chelik Beis in Kufayim Dalit in a Tshuva that he wrote to Dayan Weiss to the Minchas Yitzchak, that when our Gemara says that a behema is that's shechted is kechaya l'chol d'vareha, that's only when you shechted the simanim. But it's very different if you chop the head straight off. You chop that off, then even if it's mefarches, it's going to be metame, and that's true both by an adam and by a behema. And says Rav Moshe, there is no requirement whatsoever to be ma'arich the life of someone who's already dead. Meaning there is a requirement to be merapei cholim, to be ma'arich the life of someone who's alive, but someone who's already been metziah, someone who's already dead, that there's no requirement whatsoever to do tchias ha-mesim, to get someone to live when he's already dead. So, and he said, and therefore, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for it. Because Gemara Bava Basra tells us in Daf Ayin Daled Amud Beis that there is some type of Even Tova that exists in this world that has the ability to be mechayim mesim, even those who are decapitated. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid this Even from people. So it's Pashut that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Ramosha, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to give us that Even, we'd have no chiyuv to use that Even. Because we have no chiyuv to be mechayim mesim, we only have a chiyuv to be merapei cholim. And even to be Mechal Shabbos, the Torah only allows me Mechal Shabbos for Refuas HaCholim, not for Tchias HaMesim. Rav Moshe runs into trouble. There's a Tosos in Maseches Bamatzia, Kuf Yudal and Beis, where Tosos asks how Eliyahu HaNavi was allowed to be Mechayev, the son of the Isha HaTzarfis. He was a Kohen, so he's Metami Mesim, he's becoming Tami to a Mace by doing the Tchias HaMesim. So Tosos suggests that he knew for sure that he was going to be able to bring him back to life, and therefore was Mutter Mishum Pikuach Nefesh. Meaning, Enoch Nami is becoming Tameh because the guy's dead, the kid is dead, but you're allowed to become Tameh the Mace for Pikuach Nefesh, and this is called Pikuach Nefesh because he's going to bring him back to life. So says Ramosha, that's against everything I just said. I just said that there is no din of pikuach nefesh when you're dealing with dead people, because there's no requirement of being mechayim mesim. So Ramosha says, no, Tosos doesn't mean the pikuach nefesh of the kid. It doesn't mean he means the pikuach nefesh of the mother. She's so distraught that it's pikuach nefesh. Or the pikuach nefesh of Eliyahu HaNavi, that he'd be so distraught that he's getting such chesed from these people, and now he's, because of him, this kid is dead. So he'd have tremendous, it would be such agmas nefesh for him that it would rise to the level of pikuach nefesh. That's quite a nukimta in that tosos, to say that it's not talking about the pikuach nefesh of the child. The Netziv understands that it is talking about the pikuach nefesh of the child, and he says that since the whole reason you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the sake of the Chola is because you Mechal Shabbos Achas Kadei Sheyishmar Shabbosos Harbei, that's the whole Svara of Chol Shabbos. So if a person is dead and you can bring him back to life and he can actually be Shomer Shabbosos Harbei, same Svara would apply. But that's only if you're 100% sure. Unlike a Chola, where even if it's a chance that you'd be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, the Svara would be strong enough. But for a dead person, you have to be 100% sure in order to use that Svara. Either way, Tosos is difficult according to the Netziv, it's difficult according to Rav Moshe, it's a difficult Tosos to understand anyhow. Okay. So now the Gemara brings a machlokes amoraim about a behemoth that's shechted in multiple different spots on the neck. So Amar Rabbi Dom Rav, Hashokhi b'shayim b'shlosh mekom shechitasuk sheira. You shecht In one of the places you shecht Rov Simin or Rov Simanim, but in the other places you also shecht. You also make other cuts along the neck. That's kosher. Kiamrisa kamei de Shmuel amar li beinan shechita mefara'as v'lecha. Shmuel says, I disagree. One of the requirements of shechita is that you have what's called a shechita mefara'as. This is not a shechita mefara'as. What does it mean, a shechita mefara'as? A clearly recognizable shechita that has to like open up nicely when you cut the neck. But if there are too many slices in the neck, then the one major slice that's actually the shechita doesn't open up nicely. V'afra b'shim melaksh savar binan shechita mefara'as. R' Shmuel Lakish also holds you need shechita mefara'as. Dabar R' Shmuel Lakish minayin l'shechita shi mefara'as shenemar chet shachut l'shona mir madiber. So from the fact that the shechita is compared to a chet, to an arrow, so just like a chet cuts in only one place and it continues to pierce through that one place, so too a shechita should be on only one spot of the neck and just continue to slice through that one spot of the neck, but not in multiple places. Masav Reb Blazer asks on the sheet of Shmuel and Reish Lakish, who both say you need a shechita mefara'as, that we're going to have a mission in today's daf. Shnayim ochsin besakin v'shochtin. Two people are holding knives and they shecht. Afilu echem milamala vechem milamata shechita sukshera. Even though one of them is cutting higher up, the other one's cutting lower down, the shechita is going to be kosher. Amai v'aleka shechita mefaras. Isn't that describing exactly our case? They have two people, each with a knife in their hand, shechting different parts of the neck of the animal. Now, obviously, one is going to cut rov simanim before the other one has finished cutting rov simanim. So one of them is going to do a shechita at a time where there are other slices in the neck of the animal. And apparently that's perfectly kosher, even though it's not mefaras. Some of the Rabbi Yirmi says you totally misunderstood the Mishnah. That's not at all the case the Mishnah is talking about. Mishnah saying b'sakin echad u'shnei bnei adam. The Mishnah is talking about two people holding a single knife and doing the same act of shechita. So even though they're holding the knife, what does it mean that they're shechting b'shnei makomos? It means they're shechting at an angle along the neck. So mitzad echad they shecht a little higher up, and as they go down, they're going at an angle, so it's going to be lower down on the neck. But that certainly would qualify as a shechita mefaras. So don't tell me that our Mishnah, that the Mishnah we're going to have in Amud Beis, says that you don't need a shechita mefaras. What the Mishnah describes is a shechita mefaras. So Amud Rabbi Avi says to Rabbi Yirmiya, I hachi hainu detani Allah. If that's the case, if you're understanding the Mishnah correctly, then what do you do with the brisa that says ein choshen shem yitfu ze al ze? That they're going to be, we don't have to be choshish, that they're going to be match of the behema by doing this together. Well, yam bishlam b'shteis. If you're talking about two different people each holding their own knife, Shapir, I understand why this might be a concern that there'll be much of the behema. Because there's a legitimate concern if two people are cutting the animal's neck at the same time, that each one will rely on the other one to do a proper shechita, and none of them will shecht rov simanim, so there'll be much of the behema. That makes sense. That's why I need a mission to tell me. I don't have to worry about that. But if your interpretation of the Mishnah is correct, then no, it's one knife, two people are just holding the knife together. What would the concern be? The concern is going to be that it's going to be a treva? No, of course they're going to cut rov simanim. The concern is going to be that maybe they'll apply too much pressure on the knife. That should have been that's what the Braisa should have said is the chiddush of the Mishnah. That you don't have to be choshesh, that when two people are holding the knife together, that they might not be molech umevi, because maybe since they're not totally in concert with each other, they might push too hard in one direction or the other, they might push downward, and it might be a problem with drisa. That's what the Braisa should have highlighted. Not about trefus. So I'm later Rabbi Yavin says, Rabbi Abba, really we're talking about two people holding one knife. Tani ein choshin shem yidrosu zelza. And you got to change the words of the Braisa. You're right. The Braisa should not be addressing a concern of treifus, because there is no concern of treifus. The concern the Braisa should be addressing is a concern of drisa. That's the real concern. So Masav Rabbi Yavin shachat as havesha the mata vesa kadan the mala o as havesha the mala vesa kadan the mata shkitasuk sheira. This is another kasha that we're asking on Shmuel and Reish Lakish. Again, Shmuel and Reish Lakish were the ones that held that you need shkita shchita before ra'as, that the shchita has to be clearly recognizable, and therefore the cut has to be in one spot on the neck of the animal. There can't be multiple cuts along the neck of the animal. But the Braisa said that if you shecht the veshet lemata and the kana lemala, or vice versa, the shchita is kasher, but amai v'alecha shchita meforas, doesn't that imply there are multiple cuts along the neck of the animal, one higher up, one lower down, and that's therefore not a shchita meforas? So who most of love whom mefarikla? The same Rabbi Yavin who posed the question answered the question. The Bryce is not talking about multiple cuts along the neck of the animal. B'shchita asuya kikulmus. The Bryce is talking about a shchita that's done on a slant, that the shchita is done on an angle. So you start shechting the kana higher up along the neck, and you cut in a downward motion toward the lower down on the neck, so by the time you finish shechting the kana and get to starting to cut the veshet, you're already lower down on the animal's neck. But it's one clean slice. It's not different spots along the animal's neck where you're cutting. It's one slice, just at an angle. Says the Gemara brings a raya on this issue of shechita mefaras. Hu Torah, there was a certain ox, the ishchat b'shayim v'shlosh mekamos, was shechted in two or three places. All Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta shokel mishufri shufri, and Rav Yitzchak bar Marta took from the best meat of that ox, meaning he ate it, even though it was shechted in multiple places. Apparently, you don't need a shechita mefaras. Amalei Rav Zeira l'maditana rabbeinu mishnasenu b'shnei sakinu b'shnei b'nei adam. So, from the fact that you're willing to eat that piece of that ox, you are indicating to us that the way you learned the Mishnah that we're about to see is that it's talking about two different people holding two different knives and making multiple cuts along the neck of the animal, and that. And even that is kosher. Not like we tried to say before, that Shnei Ben Adam means two people holding the same knife. No, even multiple cuts along the neck of the animal would be kosher. That would still be Shechita Mefaras, would be kosher. I mean, even without a shechita mefaras, it would still be kosher. So Tosa says, so it sounds like this is the maskana. It sounds like the halacha is that you don't require a shechita mefaras. And Tosa says that this fits with the girsa of the Bahag as well. We're not going to get into what the girsa of the Bahag is, but that's what Tosa says. That's what it sounds like from the conclusion of the Gemara over here. Now, one of the things that possible by shechita, now we're going to shift topics a little bit, is chalada. Chalada means that the knife is covered at the time that you're doing the shechita. Like you stick the knife inside the neck of the animal, and then you slice the simanim. So it's under the neck of the animal. It's inside. It's hidden away in the neck of the animal. So Rav Yidam Rav, Hechlid as Hasakan bein simul simul psako. Let's say you stick the knife in between the two simanim. Somehow you manage to, I don't know if you do it laparoscopically, you get a camera in there to see, I don't know how a person, or you can tell from the outside where the shnei simanim are, and you manage to get the knife right in between the two simanim of the animal, so psula. Then it's going to be a psul of chalada. Tachas ha'or ksheira. But if you only get the knife under the skin of the animal, and then you start cutting both simanim in the normal way, then it's going to be kasher. That's not called chalada. So says Mar Maika Mashmalan, what's the great chiddush of that first din? That if you put it in between the two simanim of the animal, that it's chalada, it's pasul. Tanina, that's a mishnah we're going to have in a couple of days from now. O shehechlid as hasakin tachas hasheni upsako, that's going to be a psul. Rabbi Sheva Omer Nevela, Rabbi Kiva Omer Treifa. The question is, what kind of psul? Rabbi Sheva says it's a nevela, and therefore the carcass is going to be metame magul masa. Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's just a treifa, but it's not metame ki nevela. But everyone agrees that that's called chalada, and that's going to pasul the shechita. The whole machlokas is, what kind of psul? How pasul? But it's everyone agrees that it's pasul. So why do I need Rav to tell me this din that's a beferish mishnah on Daf Lamed Bey? So says the Gemara, Imi Masnisin, now had I only had that Mishnah, Hava Mina Hani Mili Milamata Lamala, I would have thought that the Psul Chalada is only Deloka Avid Kederach Shchita, that it's only when you shecht the simen from Mata Lamaila, when you're shechting in an upward motion, because that's not a normal Derech Shchita, and that's where we say that there's a problem of Chalada. That what do? You stick the knife into the neck of the animal and you start cutting upwards. Avol Milamala Lamata to cover Kederach Shchita in Mashapir Dami. But I would think that even if you stick the knife into the neck of the animal and then you slice downwards, that would be okay. So Kamash Mulan, that's why Rav has to tell me that even in that case it's going to be possible, because the shechita of the bottom simen was bechalada, it was bechalada, it was while the knife was covered. So now, tachas ha'orek sheira, Rav's second halacha was that if the knife is only under the skin, but it's not in between the simanim, then it's going to be kosher. So Bei Rav Amri, tachas ha'or en yodea. By the Talmidim of the Beis Rav, they used to say in the name of Rav a little differently, that he didn't know what the din was by tachas ha'or, whether that's a psul of chalad or not. Not that he was confident that it was kosher. So Yibayluhu, the Bei Rav Amri, tachas ha'or en yodea, if you assume like the Bei Rav, that we're not sure what the halacha is when the knife is stuck under the or, tachas matlis mahu. What would you say if it's underneath a garment that's around the outside of the animal? Would you say that if you assume that underneath the skin is considered chalada, even though it's outside of the makam of the shechita, meaning it's still outside of the two simanim, so under a matlis would be the same, or would you distinguish? No, matlis is not part of the animal. Chalada means that it's hidden within the animal. A matlis is just that it's under an outside cloth. Or the Gemara says tachas tzemer mesubach mahu. What if it is under something that's connected to the animal, the wool of the animal, but it's not under the skin? You hide the knife in the thick wool of the animal, and then you start slicing. So teku, the Gemara leaves it all as a teku. So what do we do when you have a teku? So Rashi writes that we have to be machmir because just like any suffik daraisa, you go luchumra, and that's what the Rambam paskins over here as well. Some of the akronim raise the issue: why, when it's under a matlis or when it's under the tzemer, do we not say svek sveka? That even if tachas, because we have a suffik whether tachas ha'or is chalada, and even if tachas ha'or is chalada, but there's a further suffik that maybe tachas ha'matlis is not chalada, meaning maybe tachas ha'or is not chalada, and even if tachas ha'or is chalada, tachas ha'matlis might not be chalada. Why don't we say a svek sveka? Pashas is a good reason why we don't say a svek sveka, because it's all suffik echad. The question is, how do you define chalada? How deep under do you define chalada? So it's not really a svek sveka. Anyway, by Rav Papa, what would be the halach if you shecht most of the simanim kilchasam and then you do a chalada on the last miut of the simanim? What's the din? Do we say that since you shechted rov properly, it's already a kashra shechita and the last miut doesn't make any difference? Or do we say that even though that last miut wasn't necessary, once you cut rov, you cut everything you needed to cut, but if you're going to do it, you got to do it right? Now, why would that be? If I shecht rov simanim, the animal shechted, it's kashra. So I can still do something that would passel it by doing a chalada by the rest. Why would the chalada by the rest passel it? So Beis Halevi explains very beautifully. He says, why is it that shechting rov of the siman is kasher? Rubo kikulo. Because we assume when you cut the rov, it's like you cut kulo. So what do you mean? Kikulo? Like, how did I cut kulo? Yeah, the same way you cut the rov. We assume that that's, you know, halachically, you cut, it's as if kulo was cut in the same way. But what if I did cut kulo and I didn't cut it in the same way? I did part of it bipsul. So then you can't say rubo kukulo on the part that I cut properly. You can't say that I cut because I did kulo. I did the whole thing. And some of it I did bipsul. So that's how the Beis Halevi understands the issue. So the Gemara teku, the Gemara leaves this unresolved as well. And Rashi writes, l'chumra. So the Torah Shar says, you see from here that the fiat said that the shihiyah b'miyat basra is a psul, it would be a psul min haTorah, because Rashi's machmir, meaning it's a teku, which means it's a safek, and Rashi says safek, we're going to go l'chumra. Well, why would you go l'chumra? It must be that the issue we're dealing with is an issue midaraisa. That is not so pashut at all. That goes by Monios in the second paragraph of Chachamim Tzimatzeh, and many other Rishonim seem to indicate that no, the word teku, in fact, in the back of Masechta Shabbos, there's a klalei harif arash. It tells you the klalei apsak of the Rif, the Rush, the Rambam. So over there it says that it's machlokas rishonim. When we say teku, does teku always mean l'chumra, even on a din d'rabbanan, or is it treated like a regular suffix? Suffix d'arayis l'chumra, suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. So it could be Rashi's being machmir because he assumes that teku always means l'chumra. Okay, let's see a little bit weiter. It says the Mishnah now. Hashochet shnei roshon kecha shechitas u'ksheira. If a person shechs two animals simultaneously, the shechita is going to be kasher. There's a big question on that issue, on shechting two at the same time. What do you do about a bracha? Do you say two separate brachas when you're shechting two animals, or is it one bracha? A big nafkamina ladina for regular cases, meaning even for people who aren't shochtim, is what happens by a bris mila of twins. So you're mal shnei tinokos ke'echad. So it happens to be by shechita, you can actually do it in one motion. You line up the next. By mila, we wouldn't recommend trying to do it in one motion. Mila, it has to be two separate acts. So this is a big shaila about what to do, big discussion on the page in Shulchan Aruch about what to do. I just got invited to, I'm going to be in Los Angeles for for Shabbos. So a bris of one of my Talmidim just had twins, and the bris is on Shabbos. So they have this this shayla how to deal with it. So for me, this is daf yomi coincidence. Shnayim oksim b'sakim v'shachtim. Two people are holding a knife and they're shachting together. Va'afilu echel the ma'ilu echel the matra. Even though one of them is holding higher up and the other one lower down, shchitas l'ksheira, the shchitas kasher. So we already saw two ways to interpret that. Doesn't mean they're each holding their own knife and they're cutting in different parts of the neck, or they're holding the same knife and they're cutting in a downward motion. If they chop off the head all at once, it's pasul. That's drisa. That's pressing down. But if you're shechting in a back and forth motion and it's a long knife and you cut through the whole thing, then it's going to be kasher. As long as the knife is long enough that it's melot savar. Let's say you're shechting two animals at the same time. As long as the knife has a length that's a neck length beyond the knife is long enough three widths of animals' necks, because you have the two that you're shechting and then it has to have one beyond that, then it's going to be kosher. And that's all. This requirement, such a long knife, is only if you're going in one direction. Ohevi v'lo holich. But if you're going in a back and forth motion, then the blade could be the tiniest blade in the world and it's still going to be kosher if you're molich umevi, because as long as you're not do-res. But a longer knife, there's a question whether a longer knife you actually have to use the entire length of the knife. Some of the Rishonim say you don't even have to use the entire length of the knife, but having the security of knowing that the knife is long enough will mean that you're not going to be do-res. It's all a psychological thing, that if the knife is too short, you might realize you're running out of space and be Doris. That's a discussion with Shonim. Pastor Shem, Alicia will pick up tomorrow. We'll be in California. We'll pick up tomorrow at the Gemara or the Mishnah, whatever you want.
Go ahead.